But what is prayer? Prayer is simply an invitation for you, for us to talk with God. It's an invitation for us to come into a place of communication with God. Like I told you, it's not a religious ritual. You know, sometimes we've made it that. You know, we felt like it was a chore, like, oh, I didn't pray today. Rats, I got to get out of bed. If you're like me, by the time you get in bed and you remembered you haven't prayed, it's over. Okay, I'm not one of these guys who can lie down and pray, because when I lie down, I snore. I have to stand up to pray. It's just me, right? See, this invitation to talk with God is a privilege. And when we can see it that way, if you can start by understanding that prayer isn't a religious chore or ritual, but instead it's an invitation, a privilege, an invitation to come into connection with God, it can start to take on a whole new look. Jesus gives us advice about prayer. And I figured we better check what he says rather than what I say. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus gives us advice, and I'm just going to point out Jesus' advice to you this morning, because he's much more authoritative on this topic than I am. And the first thing Jesus tells us in King James English is you should pray in secret. That word secret doesn't really work for us as much. He's not saying the fact you pray is a secret. Don't tell anyone. Shh. It's a secret. Don't tell anybody you're praying. No, we're talking about personal prayer here this morning. Like I told you, we had that night of worship and prayer a couple of Sundays ago. That was corporate worship. We had corporate worship and corporate prayer this morning. We have corporate prayer even in your small groups. Two or three or more are gathered in the name of Jesus. There he is. That's corporate prayer. This is personal prayer we're talking about. And Jesus says, go off to your secret place. I'm going to put it better. Go off to find a private place. A private place. It's a place that's kind of away from everything. I mean, for all you know, it could be anywhere. Could be in the middle of a forest if you live near a forest. Jesus tells us to find a private place. So it's not a secret that nobody knows about it. It's a private place where you get to go and be alone. And there's some things about having a private place that's yours. Everybody's different. Like, what's a private place to one person may not be to you, and vice versa. You know, maybe you're blessed and you've got a whole room that you can be just to yourself. Most people don't have that. Whatever it is, It could be in the house. It could be outside. It could be anywhere. It could be a closet. Could be a big place. It's your private place. It's a place where you can go and shut out the world. It's kind of like, it's the place that sets the atmosphere for you. You know, this morning we Sarah opened our service and she set the table, and the atmosphere of the presence of Holy Spirit comes in. And you can have that same presence when you go to pray. You don't have to wait for church. I've said to you many times, I believe in the past, that getting used to the presence of God at church is the way for us to learn to recognize His presence, so that when we're out in the world and out in our day by ourselves, we can still tap into His presence. Because God never leaves you or forsakes you. The same presence that's here this morning is the same presence that's going to be with you at work tomorrow, or at home tomorrow, or at school tomorrow. We recognize His presence when we're corporate, so we can have His presence when we're private. But it sets the atmosphere for us. You want to be a place where you're comfortable, where you're relaxed. And everybody's different. Some people like to have soft worship music playing in the back. And some people wish they could take Bats or I home to just play on the keyboard for them. Some of you are fortunate enough that you can sit yourself at a musical instrument and worship. It sets the atmosphere for you. Some of you like very quiet. I'm not the one who likes very quiet. I'm the guy who's home alone and turns the TV on, even if I'm not even on the same floor. There's got to be something. When I'm quiet, my brain runs all over the place. But most importantly, you need this private place, this secret place. You need this private place to remove all the distractions. So probably the TV room is not the best room with the TV going. I'm not that bad. I often have some worship music playing in the background, but it's a place that will free you from the distractions. Some of you may need to turn your cell phones off when you go to your private place. I know technology is wonderful because, as we've seen this morning, you can turn on the Bible app and it can read you the scripture. And like I said, I like to play music, and I have music on my laptop. In fact, I have a CD of a friend of mine named Lorna. Some of you know her. And I often play that. But I have recently had trouble because, you know, when your computer's on, your email pops up, your Facebook thingies pop, even though I think I have them turned, even though I don't have Facebook on, it's still popping up on my computer. And they're a distraction for me. So my phone has to be on silent, and but that's what the secret place is. It's this place where you have an atmosphere where you can say, God, for X amount of time, I just want to have communication with you. It's the secret place. It's Jesus' advice, not mine. He said, find a place where you can shut yourself out from the world. So you should pray in secret, and you should pray sincerely. What do you mean pray sincerely? Well, Jesus told us. One of the things He told us not to do, He says, don't babble. Don't babble. You ever meet people who get nervous, and when they get nervous, they babble? You know what I mean? They're so nervous that they don't know what not to say, and so they say everything, even though everything is doesn't make sense, and they'll tell you this story and that story, and they went here and did that, and they go and go and go and go and go. That's babbling. Jesus says, you don't need to babble. See, now understand, when Jesus is saying these words that we read, he's speaking, and there's all kinds of people, believers and unbelievers around. And he starts by saying, don't be like the hypocrite who likes to stand up in the synagogue and talk and shout on the street corner. So I think you're all safe. Because you haven't been in a synagogue in a while, have you? And you haven't been praying on the street corner, have you? So I think you're all safe. It says, don't be like them. They're babbling. They're going on and on and on so that they could look good. See, but when you're in your secret place, when you're in your private place, there's nobody to impress. It's just you and God. And God loves you. So you don't need to worry that you have to earn his love. In fact, God is the one who is inviting you to have this communication with him. To have some time out with him. And so he just wants you to pray sincerely. See, God doesn't count your words. Have you ever had something that has been so heavy on your heart that you didn't even know what to say? And in two or three words, all you can sometimes say is, God, help me with this. Did it take you a half an hour? Did it take many words? Does God know what was on your heart? You don't need to babble. And you don't. I know some of you are going to have a hard time with this. So hear me all the way through. You don't need an hour. If you have an hour and it goes an hour, that's a wonderful hour. But sometimes, some days, finding 10 and 15 minutes in a day is rough. God doesn't have a stopwatch on you. All God wants to know is, are you connecting with me today? I've been so busy at times at work that every day I try to find a time in the middle of the day just to call my wife Sylvia and touch base with her. And sometimes it's been 4 o'clock and it's like, oh, I haven't called home yet. Well, I better call home to say I'm coming home in an hour. We get busy, but you find that connection. That's what God wants. God's not looking for your stopwatch. He's not counting your words. He doesn't have a big chart that says today so-and-so spent 73 minutes with me. Did their heart and my heart touch? Also, he said, don't use meaningless repetition. Now, remember that in Jesus' day and in that culture, there was all kinds of false gods. And people who were used to worshiping false gods were used to having specific prayers. It's like they would say things over and over and over again because they were trying to get the attention of their God. You think of the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. Didn't they scream and shout all day long, cut themselves and pray and pray and pray and pray, trying to get their God's attention? That's meaningless repetition. It is not having the same heart's cry time after time. Some people have thought that, well, you know, I prayed for somebody once, I'll never pray for them again, because that's meaningless repetition. No, that's misunderstanding God's word. Wasn't it Jesus who gave us the story of the persistent widow who said she gets what she wants because she's persistent at it? It's that Jesus didn't say that, and then in Matthew said, oh, by the way, don't repeat your prayers. The word doesn't go against itself. Jesus is saying meaningless repetition. But when your heart is crying for a loved one who needs salvation, when your heart is crying for a loved one who's in the hospital, when your heart is going to say on Tuesday, we're praying for Will, I think God's going to say, well, you know what? Sorry, Dave, can't hear your prayer because I heard Jill's instead. Doesn't work that way. So meaningless repetition is not you can't say the same thing, you can't ask for the same thing. It means you can go before God. You can let your heart. See, if you pray from your heart, it's never going to be an issue. If you pray from your heart that is searching after God's, it won't be an issue. Psalm 62:8 says this, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him. You need to talk to God as your loving Father. Your loving Father. That's the key to sincere prayer, your loving Father. He's your loving Father. He wants what's best for you. That's what a loving father does, doesn't he? Now, I know, let me just parenthesis something here. That you may have not grown up with a loving father. You may not have grown up with a father. You may have a skewed idea of what a father is because of that. And I'm sorry, but I don't want you to put a negative image of an earthly father onto the image of a heavenly father. Because your heavenly father, Father God, loves you. And that's the end of it. He doesn't love you if. He doesn't love you when. He doesn't love you if you measure up. He loves you. He loves you. The Bible does say, you know, how much more of does an earthly father want to normally do good things for their children in the natural realm? How much more your heavenly father wants to give good gifts to you, his children? And so if your past has been negative, if you've been hurt by an earthly natural father or the absence of one, I want you to kind of erase that. That is not what a heavenly father wants to be to you. Your heavenly father, Jesus says, call him Abba, which means daddy in our English. Daddy. That's a term of affection. That's a term of endearment. That's a term that says you're not way out there. You're up close and personal. You're Abba Father, your daddy father. So when you pray with a sincere heart that just lets your heart. That's where I left off 2 weeks ago, where we move from our head to our heart. And if you want to move into connecting with God, you can't do it just from your head. You have to do it from your heart. Your head has to be engaged because you're dead without it. Your mind will come up with the words, but your mind will express the words from your heart. And you don't have to pray out loud to talk to God. Some of you are shy. Even in church, doesn't matter. Is your heart engaged? I mean, it's great when our mouths are engaged. It's great when the worship, the last few Sundays, last week, this week, it's you guys sounded like a mighty choir. Did anybody notice it? There was a level. Why? Because your heart and your mouth were engaged. So that's what happens. Talk to God as your heavenly Father. God wants you to pour out your heart. And lastly, and real brief, and maybe another week I'll pick this one up. You should pray specifically. You should pray in secret. You should pray sincerely. You should pray specifically. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. You need to ask. He is your Father. You ask. Now, balance this out. You don't want to show up in God's presence every moment of your life and say, here's my shopping list. Okay, that's, you can bring your shopping list, but bring more than your shopping list. Right? I have 3 children. For as long as I've known them, they've had shopping lists. Even when they didn't know they had a shopping list. Even when they're babies and they need more formula, they cry. Right? But as a heavenly, as an earthly father who wants to love them, you go out and you buy as babies the formula and the diapers and the clothes that for some reason the months never match the months, but why bother? Right? Then as they grow up, or as the little ones used to say, as they growed up, then they learned, you know. I found out at when they were very young that we could drive in the car and for some reason they always recognized golden arches. Nobody trained them. Nobody told them. Nobody taught them. But every drive in the car, you're bound to pass one of those things. And every time one of them would say, could we have McDonald's? And most times it was no. A, you don't need it. B, we don't have time. C, we don't have extra cash. I don't know, whatever. And once in a while, it would be okay. Right? Then for those who don't know, I have one son and then 2 girls. And I always knew when the girls wanted something extra because the conversations, none of them are here today. Esther 6 hours teaching downstairs. It would start with this, Daddy. And my response is, what do you want? There's just something in the tilt, isn't there? Isn't there? There's a little bit of extra softness. But I'm just an earthly father who loves my kids and wants to do the best I can for them. How much more does your heavenly Father want to give you the gifts that he has prepared for you? But you need to ask. You need to ask specifically. See, my kids receive from me out of relationship. They didn't get McDonald's because I felt generous. Or they don't get a certain thing that they need for school or something because sometimes I just felt generous. You know what? I just want to give some money away today. They didn't get things from me on the natural level just because, you know, every day they showed up with a new list of requests. They got stuff from me because I'm their dad and they're my kid and we're building relationship. Oh, there are days they ticked me off. And there's days I know I ticked them off. But that didn't break relationship. It may have meant no shopping was done that day, but. See, but that's what God wants. I mean, that's just a small picture of what God wants to be with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. So when you do need that gift, you can simply say, Abba. Abba. And notice Jesus told us your Father knows what you need before you've asked him. Why? Because he's your heavenly Father who has only good things in store for you. He's got your best interests at heart. See, prayer is about connecting with God. Prayer is about connecting with God. It's not how much time you spent today. It's not how many days did you notch off on your belt. If you don't spend enough time with God, you know, because your heart will grow cold. I'll say that again. If you don't spend enough time with God, you will know, because your heart will grow cold. And you'll go from wanting to have time with God to not caring about wanting time with God. And when that happens, you better take inventory. Because a religious ritual is not going to restore it. It's a sense of relationship that needs to be restored. Would you stand with me today, this morning? See, God is longing for relationship with you. He wants to spend time with you. He's calling you to time. We call that time prayer. Jesus gave us advice. Find a secret place. Find that private place. Find a place where you're sincere. Talk to him from your heart. Not from your head and not from your mouth, but from your heart. And be specific. Build relationship. The only way to learn how to pray is to start. Some of you I know here probably have no problem praying. Some of you struggle with it. And so, simply put, just start. How do you ever learn to do anything? You just start. Remember learning to drive a car for the first time? Some were nervous, some were excited. Some were too slow, some were too fast. But you learned. You learned. How did you learn? You got in the driver's seat and you started driving. How do you learn to pray? You get in the driver's seat and you start praying. Don't aim for an hour the first day. Aim for 5 minutes. Don't aim for the long stretch. Aim for the connection. So if prayer is a normal part of your life, I just want to say, keep going. Keep doing it. Keep praying. And when you have a chance, if you're here and you're in this family and you're in a small group or whatever, when the opportunity naturally arises, talk about your prayer time. Not to make yourself look good, but to encourage. Because God's put us in this family to help each other. And many times we take those parts that are spiritual, we kind of keep them so private. We keep the parts that are hurting so private. And then we wonder why we feel all alone and people feel like they're not connected. That's why we do small groups. It's a place to connect with people and grow with God. So if you're in a small group and you're okay with prayer, I mean, you may not be perfect, but you're okay, or maybe you are perfect. Share what God teaches you in your prayer times in those proper settings, because you're going to encourage someone with it. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're struggling with prayer. And you don't know what to do. Let me give you a couple quick little things. Start with a little devotional book. Every once in a while we have our daily bread available on the slat wall, and we only get a few copies every now and then, and we put them out there, take them. You can go online. I know I said sometimes online's a distraction, but maybe you got to start somewhere. You get our daily bread online. You don't need it in a paper format. And it'll give you a scripture. It'll give you a thought about the scripture. Our daily bread will even give you a little prayer idea. Start somewhere. There's all kinds of other things. We spent the whole fall in dealing with the Word of God. So take those things that we taught you in the fall. Start with the word. Say, you know, here's a scripture, here's an idea, here's a prayer. Before you know it, that's 10 minutes. And you haven't struggled. God, help me today. God, help them today. God, help my boss today that I don't kill them. Whatever you need. You can have laugh in church. It's okay. It's okay. If you can't have fun in church, you can't have fun anywhere. How are you going to learn to pray? Just pray. It doesn't have to be long. It has to be sincere. It doesn't have to be wordy. It could be very simple. Dear God, help me today. When I go to work, to just love my coworkers, because lately they're driving me crazy. Amen. That's not my prayer. I love my coworkers. You get it? The only way to learn how to pray is to start. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are, that you are our Abba Father, that you love us with unending love, that you only have our best intentions at heart for us. And Lord, you call us to this place of connection, to this place of relationship. And so, Lord, I ask today that you would help us, Lord, to hear that invitation from you, that you call us to the private place. You call us to the place where we're honest with you. You call us to that simple place of connecting with you. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.